Do you know the actual definition of the word priority? I didn't until I read a book a few years back that taught me. Today, we're breaking down what it really means to set a priority and how we make clear priorities in our lives. We share how to make priorities in business and family and personal progress and in every aspect of your life in order to accomplish the things that really matter most.
Happy New Year.
It's fun to be back. We had a great Christmas vacation. We had 15 people. I just keep thinking over and over about Home Alone, where the mom's like, there are 15 people in this house and no one else has to make trouble, when she's like sending Kevin to his timeout, because we literally had 15 people in our house this week. But it was so fun. I enjoyed it so much. And it was a much needed break for our family. We had some just our family time at first, in a little beach house for like 3 days, and then time with my whole family, and we went to the Rose Bowl, and it was a great start to the new year. But we are finally back in a little bit of a routine, which feels nice. And thinking about, have you like made goals or thought about what you're doing for this new year? We haven't talked about this offline yet.
Not specifically. I guess I'm feeling some anxiety about trying to figure out this. I mean, I think this podcast will be great for me.
I haven't done it either.
Be a listener of our own podcast here, yeah, which I am anyway, but maybe delving in a little extra deep on this one.
Well, I haven't either. So I was curious to see if you had had, I don't know where you would have had time to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to definitely try to do that this week. But actually, we're not going to talk about goals specifically on this podcast episode necessarily. Really, what we're going to focus on is the word priority. And there's a huge differentiation between priorities, which I feel like we hear mostly people say, what are your priorities? What are your top priorities? Versus priority. So the reason why this is on my mind is every couple years, I reread one of my very favorite books in the whole world called Essentialism by Greg McKeown. And I started it over before we hit the new year. I was just listening to it as I was driving around doing holiday errands and trying to just kind of get my mind already a little bit focused in the direction of what do I want 2022 to look like before we even got to the new year. Because I don't know, for whatever reason, I just felt like I needed to put my mind in that place. And in the very beginning of his book, he talks about what the word priority actually means. And I think it's so interesting because until I read his book, I had no idea that this was the true meaning. So the word priority came into the English language in the 1400s. It was singular. It meant the very first or prior thing, which makes sense when you think of it that way. It's like, okay, the very first thing, or as Stephen R. Covey says, which you love him in his book, first things first. Or, well,
yeah. But first things first.
Yeah, he talks about that, but it's also, now that I think of it too, it's also like a recovery.
First things first, yeah.
Yeah, you hear people say that in AA a lot.
Yeah.
So he goes on, and in Essentialism, Greg goes on to say, only in the 1900s did we pluralize the term and start talking about priorities. Illogically, we reasoned that by changing the word, we could bend reality. Somehow, we would now be able to have multiple first things. People and companies routinely try to do just that. One leader told me of his experience in a company that talked of pri 1, pri 2, pri 3, pri 4, pri 5. This gave the impression of many things being the priority, but actually meant nothing was. And I love that. It just kind of opens up your mind to, oh, if you try to say, my priorities are be healthy and be spiritual and take care of my kids and be a top performer at work and have a nice house and always have everything cleaned up and have our yard look nice and take our dog on a walk. Like, if you just keep listing all these things, it's like, well, what's your actual most important thing?
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of things. And I feel like everyone is in this same boat where it just feels like a lot all of the time. But one thing I've tried to do, rather than a whole bunch of goals every year, and I do like to, I actually really like to write down goals and then not necessarily obsess about them, but sometimes I like to write them down and then kind of just go on my merry way. And then I'll usually find them like a year or two later and see that just by writing them down, I've accomplished a lot of those things. but that's different than setting your priority, like your one thing. And each year I try to give a gift to Jesus, and we've talked about this before, and that becomes my priority, like one of the top things that I'm focusing on for the whole year. And I try to think about it every day. So last year, I would read that scripture that I shared a couple weeks ago, and I would think about how to be more of a peacemaker in our home and to not be harsh or to be rude, and you know, and think about that within my family and my children and my husband. And that was really my priority last year, was, okay, this is the one thing I really want to improve on. And I didn't do it perfectly, but I think that because I started each day thinking about it, it did help me keep it in focus. And I do think that, although, like I said, although it wasn't perfect, I feel like I made a significant change. And that was really cool. And each year when I have given a gift to Jesus, I feel like at the end of the year, there's some miracle that coincides with whatever that priority was. But there's lots of different things that you can choose as your priority. It can be, okay, in business, this is going to be the priority. This year, we just want to make sure that we take care of our customers. Everything else is secondary. Last night, we went to Mama D's. It's like our favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
I would say their priority is service over good food, over atmosphere, over really anything else. I feel like they have like a mission statement and a credo. And in that mission statement, they talk about they want everyone to have an incredible, top-notch, excellent experience every time they come. And so that to me spells out service is our number one thing. And their food is incredible. Like if you're ever in Newport Beach or in Corona Del Mar in Southern California, Mama D's is the best Italian restaurant that we've been to. But not only is it the best Italian, it's truly the very best family-friendly sit-down restaurant experience we've ever had. And I think it's because they're super clear about what their literal number one priority is. Don't you think?
Yeah. No, you can totally tell. Just in the way that immediately, and it's not like a hit or miss type of thing. It's every time, everybody, every server. So clearly they're teaching that and instilling that style into anyone that is working with them or working for them. So pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Similarly, there's this story in Essentialism that Greg McKeown tells from Johnson & Johnson in 1982. So apparently there was this scandal, this murder scandal, where 7 people died after taking Tylenol. And then it was later discovered that those bottles had been tampered with. Johnson & Johnson had to respond to that in some way. So they were like, do we keep the shareholders happier? Do we make the customers feel safe? And making the customers feel safe, they felt like would mean taking all of the Tylenol off the shelves and then doing all brand new product and doing this huge recall to the tune of $100 million. And what they ultimately decided was to go back to their credo. And Greg McKeown says, fortunately for them, it was a statement written that, unlike most corporate mission statements, the credo actually listed the constituents of the company in priority order. Customers are first, shareholders are last. So that's why they went back to that and they said, the decision's already made. We're going to put the customers first. We're going to recall all this Tylenol. And then instead of it ruining their brand, it really saved their brand and gave them a lot of notoriety with their customers. And because they did that and put that first, it also created loyalty and it had a ripple effect by choosing that top priority and putting that first, which I think is really cool. But I think you can do that with your business, with your family, with your personal goals, with each of those different areas in life. You can say, okay, in my business, what is our top priority? What is the number one thing that is going to trump everything else in a pinch, in an uncomfortable situation? What are we always going to go back to make that decision? And I think we've had that even in our marriage, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I would say so. I'm trying to think of if you're referring to a specific
I think, in general, though. I think that when we are at odds or when there's conflict or when there's something that we don't agree on,
what the priority is,
it's very easy to go back to the priority, to the one thing that we always agree on, which is our faith in Jesus Christ, and then yeah, all the other ripple things that come down from that. But if you go top down and we pick the top priority, it's the same for both of us. So even when we disagree, we usually can find that common ground within keeping the Lord as the top priority. And that has saved us in a lot of uncomfortable situations or things that we don't agree on or times where the way you see something is not the same way that I see something.
Yeah. No,
like
I would.
The dress.
The dress.
Yes. Talk about the dress.
No, well, I'll let you talk about it. I'd never seen it before.
Well, I'm doing a lot of talking. Why don't you talk about it?
About the dress. Well, okay. So we're in line at Disneyland and Corinne shows me this picture and it's a dress. Apparently this was like a viral picture. So the dress to me, it looked like it was like a black and green, I think. Or well, let's see, black and
blue and black.
It for sure, without any doubt, looked like it was blue and black. But when Corinne looked at it, it was white and gold.
I could only see white and gold. And it wasn't like, you know, interestingly, in Stephen Covey's book, The Seven Habits, he has this picture of like an old woman. And then if you look really hard, you can see the
young woman.
Or vice versa. Maybe your eye catches the young woman first, but then if you look really hard, you can see the old woman. This is not like that. This is like
your genetics, like a physical chemistry thing
that your eyes only see two colors and it is trippy. So our daughter Lila and I only saw gold and white. I cannot see anything else when I look at that photo. Even if I try, I'm like, my eyes only see gold and white. And your eyes, and same with Annie, only saw blue and black.
Yeah.
It was wild. And then we would show people like in line or at dinner. They would just be like, what?
But I think, and Covey makes the point in The Seven Habits. He says it comes down to everyone has their own paradigm or their own kind of mapping that they base all of their thinking and planning and how they go about life is based off of kind of a roadmap, an individual roadmap. Really, I think what has saved us and helped us and been, if there was such a thing as a one thing, I guess, talking about priorities, that has made all the difference, it's the spiritual component of that.
And we decided that when we got married, we were like, this is going to be our top thing.
Yeah.
That was discussed over and over. It was we both felt really strongly about that if we put God first, we're always going to be on the same page.
And it falls into line. I mean, it's from the Bible. So in Matthew 6:33, Christ is teaching. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I find for us, when that's the priority, is doing the things, taking the spiritual actions that we know are right and that are most important, everything else tends to work out. Just baseline work out, or most of the time works out better than I would have, or we would have even thought.
Totally agree.
Coming back to that, and I love it, what President Nelson, the prophet of our church, he put out a kind of a message, New Year's message.
I saw it on Instagram. Where did you see it? Because you don't have Instagram.
Somebody actually, one of my buddies texted it to me.
Oh, okay.
He kind of lays these priorities out. I won't read the whole thing. I'll just give kind of the first line of each one. He says, first, resolve to strengthen your spiritual foundation. And that's something that he's talked a lot about. I'll read something, a quote that he quoted in our last general conference, the last one just in October. And second, resolve to be kind to others. And third, resolve to be resolute. The Lord loves effort. The Lord loves consistency. So being consistent or being resolute in the things that you do. But I loved what he said in the last conference. So this was like closing remarks, kind of end of the conference. Typically, the prophet will speak last. What he said, and his talk was called Make Time for the Lord. He says, my brothers and sisters, I plead with you to make time for the Lord. Make your own spiritual foundation firm and able to stand the test of time by doing those things that allow the Holy Ghost to be with you always. In looking at what do we prioritize, and spirituality is probably going to look different for a lot of people. Doesn't mean that there are spiritual truths that I find and we found that by abiding by these things that we can connect to our Heavenly Father. But making time for God in focusing on those things that will draw us closer to him and setting that as the priority.
That's like the top priority that in, is his, the, in his advice. And for us, Russell M. Nelson is like the Pope to us. He is our leader. He's by no means Jesus Christ. We don't worship him. We don't think he's perfect, but we think he is the leader of our church. And he's a great example of someone who, when we follow his advice, will get closer to God. So I love that he shares three priorities, but they're in order, right? Just yeah. like the Johnson & Johnson. Yes, like shareholders are in there, but customers come first. And so when he lists his three things, make God a priority, be kind to people, and be resolute. The first one, before anything, is make God the priority, which is like when you look at the commandments that Jesus gave us when he came during his ministry was first love God, then love others. I think what all of this is boiling down to is when you put God first, you tend to see that other things automatically fall into place. And I think for a long time as a member of our church, I used to feel overwhelmed a little bit at church where I would hear people share lessons or I would listen to doctrine in Sunday school. And it just felt like there's so many things. There's so much stuff that I have to do right. And I specifically remember someone giving a lesson about journaling and that journaling was a commandment of God. And I was like, well, shoot, I never write. I mean, not never, but I was not great at writing in my journal. And I was like, is God going to be disappointed in me? Am I failing him? And I think it's so easy to feel that way in anything. Like none of us is doing everything perfectly. At the same time, I think that I love what he said about be resolute too, because we can all choose to find a couple of things, like one thing or two thing or a couple of different aspects of our life where we can improve, where we can be resolute, where it makes us happier people to improve and to do better and be better. But it doesn't mean we have to do all the things all at once or be perfect in every area. And I just don't think that that's how God works. I think that I love how he said the Lord loves effort. Yeah. But it's such a great pattern to me of, okay, let's make a list. Let's put first things first and do prioritize God, then kindness to others, and then really stick to some of those goals and be resolute. I just think that's so cool.
Yeah, I love the way that he laid it out. And one thing that I caught in his talk in this conference, and so he mentions that, I plead with you to make time for the Lord. Shortly, like two paragraphs later, he says it again. I emphasize this morning, please make time for the Lord in his holy house. He says, nothing will strengthen your spiritual foundation like temple service and temple worship. So I think that's something that we've focused on in our church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We have temples, which we've talked about before on the podcast, that we go and make covenants with God, and he covenants and promises things to us, and eternal marriages happen and other things. But really going and doing that has been such a strength for us. And I think that's one of the ways that I think spiritually setting that as a priority has been something that's been really cool for us and strengthened us in a lot of different ways. Again, I think spiritual things, like striving, it's really tough to do, especially when you have like family or like a young family or business or whatever. There's all kinds of things that can take your time and attention. It's hard to really carve that out and set that as the priority each day, but I found that it's just been vital.
Talking about the temple too, the way that we started going to the temple so often was we just made a decision. Okay, we're going to do this every week. Friday, at the time we had a babysitter for our youngest kids on Friday, just a half day. And we decided, I think if we work really hard Monday through Thursday, that Friday when we have that babysitter for the half day, instead of using it to work, I think we can use that time and go to the temple instead. So that was kind of just the day that worked out for us when we decided this a few years ago. And ever since then, that's kind of been our day. And sometimes it changes on a week here or there. But the thing that really actually made me decide to do it that way was that President Nelson said, Make an appointment with the Lord to be in his holy house and keep it with exactness and joy. And the word appointment really popped out to me because then I thought of appointments that I have in my life. And I'm like, okay, my hair appointment, I never miss that. And if I have to miss it, if something comes up, I reschedule it as fast as I can because I don't want to have my gray hair showing. And so I just don't want to miss it. Or at the time I was still getting eyelash extensions and I was like, I never miss my eyelash extension appointment. So I had these appointments that I was like, I make those appointments or else if something comes up, I reschedule them so that I can still make it within the time frame. And so I was like, okay, if we're going to do this, let's do it and make an appointment that we can keep with exactness and joy. And we live within 20 minutes of a temple. So I was like, okay, let's make this an appointment and make it a priority. And I feel like we've had just an abundance of blessings making time to worship God in what we feel like is his holy house. But I wanted to go back to what you said a second ago about like families. It can be hard when you have family and you have a business or you have a demanding career or whatever. Or even if you are, you're a stay-at-home mom and you have a bunch of little kids or like whatever it is, each of us is so busy. There's nobody, I have a hard time finding someone who isn't really busy. Even my grandma, when you ask her, my cute little Japanese grandma who's in her 80s, when you ask her how she's been and what she's doing, she always says, oh, I'm just busy, busy. That's her answer. But I loved this story in Essentialism that Greg McKeown shares about a woman named Cynthia. And she tells the story about when she was 12 years old, she had this day planned with her dad in San Francisco. And they had it planned down to the minute. Like her dad had to give a presentation and they were going to meet up right after the presentation and hurry out so that nobody could pull him aside and talk to him. Then we're going to eat Chinese food in Chinatown and then shop for a souvenir, see sights, catch a flick, go back to the hotel, jump in the pool, have a quick swim, order a hot fudge sundae in their room and go to bed. And that was the plan. It was like they talked about it. They anticipated it. They were so excited. And then the time came and he did the presentation. Just as he was going to leave, one of his old friends, I think from, let's see, was it from college? Yeah, an old college friend and business associate kind of cornered him. Just was like, hey, it's so good to see you. My wife and I would love to take you down to the wharf and get you some amazing seafood. And of course, Cynthia's invited. And the dad says, Bob, it's so great to see you. Dinner at the wharf sounds great. And then Cynthia was crushed because she, all of her dreams of doing all the fun things and going to get a souvenir and going to see a flick and eating Chinese food, which was their favorite, they all were shattered by this picture of sitting at a restaurant with adults eating seafood that she doesn't even like and being bored by adult conversation and just feeling like, oh, great, like somebody came in and stole the moment. But then her dad says, but not tonight. Cynthia and I have a special date planned, don't we? And he winked at her. And so she told this story to Greg McKeown, and the dad was Stephen R. Covey from The Seven Habits, which I thought was really cool that he didn't just teach and preach this, but he actually lived it. And that he probably didn't have a ton of extra time. He had a lot of kids. I don't remember how many, but I know Covey had a lot of kids and had a super demanding career. At one point, he was like the CEO of, what's the leather planner company?
Franklin Covey.
Franklin Covey, which at like in the heyday, everyone had a Franklin Covey planner. Like my dad had one, my mom had one. Everyone and anyone, at least where I grew up, had a Franklin Covey planner. So he was a busy, busy man and a New York Times bestselling author, but he made time for his family. And when he did, he actually kept those appointments and made his family feel like priority. And I guess as I think about family, I've also thought about sometimes it takes those crisis times in our life to realign priority. I feel like when someone dies or someone gets really sick or something, there's a big crisis that happens. Suddenly all the stuff doesn't really matter. And it comes into very clear focus. Oh, this is all I get to take from this life. And these are the things that actually matter. And it's pretty easy to realign what's the top priority and what your priorities are. Don't you think?
Yeah, I would have to agree. Obviously, we've been through that recently. We went through that recently with the loss of my brother coming up on 3 years ago now. But yeah, I think it kind of cuts through everything, and really it's relationships with others. It's a lot of things that maybe you take for granted before become the focus, and things that maybe should be the priority suddenly are the priority. But even then, like, I have to kind of realign myself, because even after going through that experience and finding things that are the priority, seeing the priorities in life, like, it's easy to just get back into life and be like, okay, well, I got to do this and then I got to do that. And
yeah, well, we're all at the grind. It's everyone is living on the hamster wheel to some degree. And I don't think that we're bad people or there's anything wrong. Yeah, I don't think there's anything
like necessarily wrong with that.
It's just, are you intentional enough to realize when there's a crossroads, right? When you run into Bob and Bob says, hey, let's go get seafood. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you have to say, wait a minute. Is this the priority? And I had to do that this morning. I had a huge list. We've had people in our house, like we said at the beginning of the podcast. We've had guests for a week now. I haven't worked since really like Christmas Eve, like a couple of days before Christmas. So it's been like a couple weeks since I've had a really good sit down, really work hard kind of work day. And our babysitter canceled. So we had a ton of stuff to do, not very much support. All four kids are at home. Our kids are still out of school for winter break. And I had promised Annie that I would take her shopping today. And when I promised her that, I thought, oh, for sure, I'm going to be able to like get up, do some work, take a break, go shopping with her, come home and work the rest of the day. That was the plan. And then you were like, well, we got to record a podcast today. And then we didn't have a babysitter for backup. And so I had to just say, okay, what are the things on my priority list that must be done? I can sit down for 2 hours before the mall opens and just grind it out, work as hard as I can. And then at 10 or 10:30, just stop what I'm doing, take her. Because if my family really is the most important thing to me, I've got to show them that I mean it when I say that. And when I make a commitment that I follow through with it. So I did that. And it was so fun to just see this joy in her eyes that I don't even think it was about the clothes. I really just think it was about the one-on-one time. And she kept saying to me, Mom, this is so fun. And she's like, I love this. This is so fun. And she said to me at one point, did your mom do this with you? And I was like, yeah, my mom would do this with me. And she just kept saying, thank you, Mommy. And it was so sweet. Again, I don't think it was about the clothes, because I buy her clothes online and she's kind of like, thanks. It was about the time. It was about the time walking through the mall, picking stuff up, talking about it, just spending time with her alone, which is rare when you have four kids and a business and so many things going on. Maybe I won't get to all the things on my list, but I'm so glad that I put her first and also grateful that you supported me in doing that. But I think those are the times where it's kind of like the Johnson & Johnson, well, 7 bottles were contaminated. Do we just say, well, whoops, that wasn't our fault? Or do we say, we're going to go back to our credo and put the actual very first thing first and keep our word, even at the tune of 100 million? And it paid off. It worked out for them. And I think that God helps us out when we keep those top things, the first things first. I think he really does help us out in little ways where it's like, oh, wow, that somehow we had enough time for all the things and it just worked out. Don't you feel like that?
I feel like that happens every time. And I don't know, more often than not, I look at what obviously you got to put in effort and really try hard and apply yourself and work out a list or, okay, this is what I need to do. This is the plan. Here's the priorities. But even when I'm willing to put that to the side, if I feel something spiritually telling me like, hey, do this instead, it's amazing to see what happens. And suddenly I'll get through the end of a day or even a busy or hard day or crazy day. And it's like, I can't believe the way that came together and problems fixed themselves. And this person came through and helped in this way. And it just cleared up a huge issue. And suddenly there's time and everything. Basically, I have everything that I need and everything's taken care of. It's pretty amazing. I think that's what it comes back to with that scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's kind of what it means from what I've seen.
specifically when I put reading the Book of Mormon first, and I learned that almost 10 years ago when I was 28, coming up on 10 years, when I learned to put reading the Book of Mormon first, it was like magic. It was like a superpower. I could read, you know, a chapter or 20 minutes or 15 or whatever it was that day. And then it was like the clarity was so sharp. And so it was easy for me to focus on the right things. And how I personally like to do priorities or figuring out the top priority is this. This is my method. This is the Corinne Stelco method. Is I get up, I try to read the scriptures. Ideally reading the scriptures when the house is quiet first thing in the morning before kids are awake. That's ideal. Doesn't always happen, but in best case scenario, that's what it looks like. If not, I'm trying to read it before I get into anything else, before I get into a work day or whatever. I sit down, I read the Book of Mormon, and then the Spirit comes into my life so that the Spirit isn't just there to make you feel good feelings about Jesus. The Spirit is also there to be a companion to you and to help you make good decisions and know, oh, this is more important than that. Do this first. That can wait. I feel like the Spirit guides me when I invite it in by reading the Book of Mormon first. That's just what works for me. But I find it amazing how I get pushed and nudged and prompted to do this first, then that first. I feel like my priority list gets super clear when I invite the Spirit into my life. So after I read the Book of Mormon, I don't do this every day, but I should do it every day. And I try to do it most days. I just brain dump. I write down everything that's in my mind that's bothering me. That's like, oh yeah, I gotta like, even little things like, oh, I need to make a return to Target, or this bill needs to be mailed out, or we need to schedule a doctor appointment, or little things like that. And then also huge things like we need to make sure to sign one of our kids up for school enrollment for next year, or like something that's actually a really big deal. And I'll put all the things down, not try to prioritize them. I just brain dump. I write it all down. And then I go back, I make boxes next to the things that must be done. So it's like my second round of elimination is if it's something that I could do today or I could do in a month, there's a dot next to it and I make it into a square. So a box, if it's like, this has to be done today. There's no, like, we will die if this doesn't happen today. So I make boxes out of those. So hopefully I'm not making more than four or five or whatever. And then within those boxes, next to the box, I number them. So after I have my like four or five boxes, then I say, okay, what do I have to start with? What's most important to start with first? And then I put the one and two and three, four, five, so on. And I feel like that method helps me to feel like, okay, even if I don't get to everything today, I at least know what the most important things are and I know where to start. And I loved it. I read that Joseph B. Worthlin, who I just loved, he said basically the same thing when I was researching the word priority in all of the past general conference talks. He said in this talk called Three Choices, he said, each night before I go to bed, I take out a small card and write a list of things I need to do the next day in order of their priority. See, I'm not that organized, but that's how he does it. And then he says, when I arrive at the office in the morning, I check my card and pull all my efforts into the first item on the list. When I accomplish that item, I move on to the second and so on. Some days I finish every item on the list. On other days, some tasks are not completed. I don't become discouraged, however, because I'm focusing my energies on the things that matter most. And that's just what works for me. But I feel like when I take the time to do that, it feels like, okay, even if I only got two things done, I did my best and I did the things that mattered most.
Yeah.
So, but what's your method? Because I know you journal and you write down and make lists too.
Same deal. I used to listen to, he's kind of a motivation, I don't know if you call him motivational speaker, but strategy guy, Brian Tracy. But he talks about just the simple act. He's like he said one of the most effective tools for being effective in your life was just a spiral bound notebook. And I started doing that after I heard him quote that. And I would just every day, each day, write down just bullet points of what needs to happen.
Yep.
And then try and somewhat put in an order to it, similar to what you're saying. I find that when I do that, and there's a record too. So like if for some reason there's a big project type of a deal that is like, hey, reorganize this part of your business, that's kind of not so much like a all in one day type of deal, that I can list that down and then look back a few weeks later or a month later and be like, oh, cool, this is where we're at with it now. Here's the phase we're in, or actually, wow, we actually accomplished that. So there is a sense of accomplishment and that you're progressing. I find that's something that adds to my overall happiness, is if I can track and see progress personally, like comparing me to me or like with what we're doing or goals that we have set. If I can see progress in that, it's like, okay, we're getting somewhere. We're making progress. We're growing. We're developing. There's a lot of fulfillment in that.
I love that. Final thoughts from me. I got to go back to the first thing first, the priority, the top, what we always try to put at the very top. And even in our business, we try to do that where we have to make a tough decision. We usually take it to the Lord. We're like, okay, we got to pray about this, or what feels right. What is the right thing to do? Not necessarily what's going to make us the most money or what will be the most financially savvy or whatever. We've passed on a lot of things that just haven't felt right, or we've made decisions that maybe feel risky or feel scary at the time because when we prayed about it, it feels right. And I feel like we've really tried to put the Lord first in every aspect of our life, our lives. It just is amazing to me. I still think of my friend Angie, who's been on the podcast before. She talked about this wild time in her life when she was a Relief Society president and she had this job where she was traveling a ton and she was taking classes in school to get her master's. And like, she just had all these things on her plate that sounded astronomical. It was like, how in the world did you balance all of that? She talked about when she got this huge calling from our church, from her local congregation, to be the leader of all the women in the congregation on top of all these other responsibilities, that she kind of was like, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And that she felt like the Lord said to her, Angie, if you put me first, I'll help you do everything else. And I still remember that. I think about it all the time. And I feel like when I try to do that too, because there are so many things. I want to be a good disciple of Christ. I want to be a good mother. I want to be excellent in our business. I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be like, there's just so many things. I want to be healthy. I like just a lot. There's a lot. But when I put God first, I feel like he helps me so much more than anyone else possibly could, because he's God, because he knows everything, because he can see the beginning from the end. He can see what you need to do first, or where you need to go, or who you need to call, or maybe who needs a little extra help. And I feel like when you put him first, and especially when he asks you to do things that are out of your to-do list order, and he asks you to do them, he helps you to figure all the other stuff out. It's like, that is the benefit of always putting God first, is that when you put him first and you make God your business partner, as our friend Xander likes to say, that he's the best business partner out there, because he'll help you take care of all the rest. And Joy D. Jones, in this October 2018 talk that's entitled For Him, she said, if we place him as our main priority, everything else will ultimately fall into place, even our service to others. When he takes the preeminent position in our lives by our deliberate choice, then he is able to bless our actions to our good and to the good of others.
I think there's a lot of different ways to say that, but in general, I think it just comes down to that. But it's such an easy concept to even say, or a scripture to quote, but really that kind of time comes for me each day where it's like, did I read my scriptures today? And even in preparing for seminary or preparing lessons, that like for me, like that's study time, and it is good, but I still feel like I need to apply myself and do my own personal for me study as well. And so a lot of times it's looking at that when that moment arises, making that decision of like, okay, I feel the pull, I feel the anxiety of all of this other stuff that has to happen. Do I have the discipline to let that anxiety go and trust God that if I stop in this moment and I read the scriptures and pray or take a spiritual action, that all of these other things are going to be okay? And it does take trust, and it takes faith to do that every day, because there are days where there's some serious demands that are pulling hard and that are pressing. So just kind of my thoughts.
Well, here is to a new year of keeping first things first. And I thought I was done, but I'll just say last thing. It's okay if you don't do everything, and it's okay to not be excellent in every little thing. I think it's okay to pick one thing. That's the whole point, right? Pick one thing to be a little bit better at. And the satisfaction and the joy that you'll feel from just picking one thing and making it a priority is so worth it. It's worth the effort. So those are my final thoughts, and we'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening to Mint Arrow Messages. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Mint Arrow. Subscribe to our Apple Podcasts and rate and review us if you like us. And to get show notes, go to mintarrow.com/podcast. And you can even sign up to get show notes emailed right to your inbox, and we'll email you every time there's a new episode.